Well, good morning, everybody. Lovely to see you again. Just to, as we start this morning, just to say I'm having a little bit of trouble seeing your posts on here at the moment, so I'm following it on my phone alongside my computer. So I'll try and pick up the different things that you're posting on there and respond to them. But yeah, it's great to see you all this morning. Feels really strange, actually. It's been 3 weeks since I've been here, and a big thank you to Henry for covering for me for the last 3 weeks, and well, more than covering, he's done a great job, hasn't he? And make sure if you see him that you tell him just how much you've appreciated him being with us this last few, leading us the last few weeks. It's been really, really great. Thanks for all of you who've been praying for us. We had a little bit of time off. Wendy and I, we had a lovely time. We went to the Peak District for 5 days and did lots of walking and stuff. We learned actually that we're not very good at following maps, even though we both did get our badges when we were Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts respectively, map reading badges all those years ago, but we're not so good at it now. But we also learned that we are really, really good at getting lost. So we ended up walking twice the distance. I think it was 16k one day, and was only meant to walk 8k. So I was a little bit tired that night. But yeah, been really lovely, really refreshed. It's great to get refreshed, not just physically, but in our souls, isn't it, really? And I'm finding that sometimes I can be physically rested, but not mentally rested, and I've got to learn to do both. And so we did a bit of that over the last few weeks. So really, really, really great. Let's just pray, shall we? And then we'll get going, get started. So Father, thank you again for this wonderful medium that we can just join together, Lord. Lord, I know this is our hearts long to be together physically, Lord, but like the Apostle Paul of old, Lord, we choose to learn to be content in every and any situation. And Lord, we choose to try and be content, Lord, in what we have and what is available to us. And so this morning, Lord, we just want to pray for some sense of your great anointing upon our time together, that Lord, you would just bless us and be amongst us in Jesus' name. Okay, just a few quick notes. Just to say, I did see the comment about Rob, and we'll pray for you a little. We'll pray for Rob a little bit later on, Joe. But obviously, let's just keep him in mind as we're gathered together this morning as well. That Rob will be fine this morning. Okay, you may have seen on the notes beforehand that next week going to start deeper sessions. One or two of you have said, you know, loving the live streams, but would appreciate an opportunity to be able to just have a little bit of a deeper study. And we used to do things called Deeper on a Sunday morning, where we just take a particular theme and we dig into that a little bit deeper. So next week I'm going to have a Zoom meeting around about 9 o'clock. We'll meet for about 45 minutes. And I thought perhaps we would try and dig into the doctrines of Hebrews 6. I know they call them foundational doctrines, but actually they can be a lot deeper if you choose to dig in. And next week we'll just think about doctrine in general and think about three types of doctrine that Jesus said we should be cautious of, and think about why it's important, and create a starting block for looking at Hebrews 6 doctrines. Just to say that many of the Connect groups are pausing over the summer, but I think one of them is still meeting. If you're interested in being able to try and connect with them during the week, then just let me know, and we'll see if we can do that. And just encourage you to keep joining the prayer sessions. We have one on a Monday night and one on a Thursday lunchtime. It's so important that even though it's the summer, even though we're chilling out, it's lovely weather that we're having, it's important to just keep praying and seeking God. And there are quite a few big prayer requests and prayer issues that we really do need to dig into at the moment and to be praying for. So if you can join us tomorrow evening at 9 o'clock, or lunchtime 1 o'clock on Thursday, would be really, really great. Or else get on the prayer chain and join with us as we pray together. So let's just start, we started already, haven't we? But let's just have a time of worship together, and we're just going to worship to God together in this song, Good, Good Father, because He is a good, good Father, isn't He?
I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night. searching for answers. Only you provide, 'cause you know just why we need before we say a word. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. Perfect in all of your ways. You're perfect in all of your ways. You're perfect in all of your ways to us. You're perfect in all of your ways. You're perfect in all of your ways. You're perfect in all of your ways to us. This love so undeniable, I can hardly speak. So unexplainable, I can hardly think as you call me. Deeper still as you call me. Deeper still as you call me. Deeper still into love. Love, you're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are.
I'm Debbie, and I'm a volunteer at a food bank. I volunteer once a week, or maybe twice a week, and I've been on and off for quite a long while, and I enjoy it, yeah. Well, you get a list, and it's a bit like playing shops, because you go around to get the items. It's not a shopping trolley dash, but... But it's collecting the items, ticking them off. You check on the dates. You get the carrier bags and put it into boxes with the food and have it weighed. just putting labels on and even having to put a bit of artistic drawings on the outside so you know which the boxes belong to which. Yeah, and it is good. Yeah, it makes me feel really good. From coming here in the first thing in the morning and buzzing around, getting everything and being part of a team, that is another great thing. But it's also, I often think of the scripture, Jesus said to love one another. And if my brother's hungry, feed him. If my brother needs a drink, you know, to give him water. And it is about loving others. Even if you don't know who they are, it's just, it gives you a good feeling inside. Very pleased to be here and to be volunteering. And it gives you that sense of something positive for others, you know, because again, when I needed it, there was somebody the other side doing that for me. And yeah, I'm hoping to go on for a long time doing this because it's good to be with the other volunteers and getting to know one another. And it's another lovely group to belong to. Yes, I would definitely recommend it because it's part of my life and I just so enjoy it. And I hope that it will encourage others just once a week, every other week, once a month, just to get involved. Because even replenishing the boxes, it all takes time, you know, and yeah, it is good.
Brilliant. Thank you, Debbie. That's really great. And I'm really sorry about the microphone just now. See, I am just getting back into it, really. And for some reason, I've been having a bit of an issue with feedback stuff this morning. So I'm having to switch it on and off in between every item this morning. So we've been thinking, haven't we, about faith, hope and love. And we're going to look this morning at love. I've really appreciated the messages over the last few weeks from Temba and from Henry and the one we had from Patrick Regan the other few weeks back as well. And so this morning I'm just going to share a little bit. I've pre-recorded it and I've tried to use some new software. So I hope this is okay. It's a little bit clunky, but I am no Matthew Morton, I'm afraid, when it comes to putting videos together. But let's see how this goes, shall we? Yeah, great. And over the last few weeks, whilst I've not been around, we've been thinking, haven't we, about the subject of faith, hope and love. It's great to hear Henry last week talking about faith and how Abraham had confidence in this awesome God that we have, and as a consequence of his confidence in that God, his faith, his trust in God, he embarked on an amazing journey. And we can think about how God calls us into great adventures sometimes, and we don't know the end from the beginning, but yet we can have confidence that he will walk with us in that time. And then we had Temba talking to us all the way from South Africa. Just amazing, this technology, makes these things work, you know. Talking us about hope, and used that great acronym, didn't he, of using the words HOPE. And so, you know, we can apply some of the principles that we think about when it comes to faith, hope and love into any situation. You know, as we walk through this season, this COVID season, this pandemic season, you know, that it's important that we maintain an attitude of faith, that we're believing that it is God that will get us through. It is God who will guide us. It is God who will direct us. And we can have confidence in him leading and directing and guiding us in this season. It's important that we maintain hope, isn't it, in this season, that we maintain a sense of looking to God to work and to outwork his purposes in this season, and so that we expect there to be better times, whether it's in this life or the life to come. There is always hope when we walk our journey with God. And so today we're going to think about love. And it's interesting that Paul says the greatest of these three is love. So somebody's going to read to us now, or Ruth's going to read to us, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. God bless you.
Our reading today is 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods on the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy, does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Hearts bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will not fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. And now abideth faith, hope, and love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. The Lord bless the reading of these words.
Well, thank you so much, Ruth, for reading that to us. Wonderful. So 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it's that great passage, isn't it, that we read at weddings and that, used in lots of different contexts. And love is that sort of great theme of the New Testament. Do you remember a little while ago at the royal wedding, Bishop Michael, I've forgotten his surname now, preached on love, and the sermon really kicked up a stir, didn't it? And, you know, and love is one of the great themes of the Christian faith, isn't it? Jesus said, you know, one of the last things he said was that a new command I give unto you, love one another as I have loved you. And it's almost like he wanted to say that there was a different type of love that was seen in him, and it was that sort of love that he wanted them to emulate. Now, the word that is used here in this particular passage in the original language, the Greek language, and in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, for love is the word agape. There's a number of different words that are translated love from the Greek language. The Greek language has a number of different words that are translated love in our English scriptures. But the one here, agape, is one that was used only in Christian literature, in the New Testament and in other early church writers. It wasn't one that really appears in classical Greek of its day. And so some commentators, what they say is that the early church writers felt that they needed a different word to describe this Jesus-type love, the love that was evidenced to us in his life and in his death and in his resurrection, in his leaving heaven's glory to come on earth, to be amongst us. And so they imported, or they used this word agape to represent a deeper type, Jesus-type love, and that therefore that's what Paul uses here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. He's focusing us, moving us towards a Jesus-type love, and he unpacks it for us and explains to us what that is like. And let me just do a quick screen share here, if that's okay with you. as he unpacks this here, he basically sort of describes love in three ways. He talks about the priority of love, that this agape love, this Jesus type love, has a priority over everything else, that there is a priority about love. And here he's talking to a church that is struggling in the way that they're using spiritual gifts and the way they're behaving towards one another. And he's saying, look, you know, no matter how great you are, how gifted you are, no matter what you can do for God, it means nothing if it is not done in an attitude of love. Love has to be supreme. Do things in an attitude of love. And then he talks about the principles of love, and we'll come back to that in just a moment. And then he talks about the permanence of love. He says, no matter what you do in this life, if it is not fueled with love, it will not last into eternity. It will not last even in the context of this life. And so he talks about how, knowledge will pass away, tongues will pass away, but love will remain. Love is supreme, and this Jesus-type love is supreme. Now, he talks in the middle here about the principles of love. You see, it's one thing to say that love has priority, that love will last forever. But what does love look like? And so Paul gives us a little glimpse here into what love may look like. Let me just with my screen on. And in order to do that, he says he gives us he talks about what love is and what love is not. Now, we don't have time to unpack all of this, but he starts by saying what love is. Love is patient and love is kind. And I just want to spend a few moments reflecting on those two particular expressions. You know, if we want to know what love looks like, love is patient, love is kind. It's interesting that those two words are used in relation to the fruit of the Spirit, that the fruit of the Spirit involves kindness and patience. And in Romans chapter 2 verse 4, we're even told that's part of the very nature of God. Paul talking about how God does not, bring his wrath upon us in the way that we deserve. And he says, don't you know that do you show contempt for the riches of the kindness, tolerance and patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads you towards repentance. Kindness and patience are actually part of the nature and the character of God. So when we're thinking about how we express love in this season, what does love look like? It looks like patience. It looks like me saying, I'm going to give you space to become all that you can, even if it's taken you a while to get there. I'm going to give you space to work through the issues that you might find that you're struggling with in life. If I feel that you are way ahead of me and I'm thinking, you're something I'm going to be patient with you in the way that you outwork that we give one another space to become Christ-like in this world. But equally alongside that, he uses the word kindness. You see, there's a passive sense and there's an active sense here, isn't there? A passive sense in the sense that I'm patient with you if I'm being loving, but I'm also kind, I'm proactive. I try to find ways to bless you, to help you, to do things for you that will help you to become all that God has for you. And I'm hoping that you'll also be kind to me, that you'll be patient and give me space when I need space. And you'll also be proactive and bless me if you're being loving towards me. See, Paul goes on to talk here about a number of things that love is not. It's, it's not proud. It doesn't say, I think I'm better than you. It doesn't envy. It doesn't say, I think I want what you have. I'm content. Paul said he'd learned the secret of being content, and I'm going to be content with what God has given me as well. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. But the two things I can get my teeth into is patience and kindness. You see, I think that Paul gives us this particular passage here in context. Paul is giving us this passage, or was given this particular church this passage of scripture to help them manage themselves in the way that they gather together. when things weren't working quite the way they should. There were people who thought they were better than others in the way they used their gifts. They weren't using the gifts very well. They were looking, you know, I'm better than you and all that sort of stuff. And Paul says, like, you know, that's not the way it's got to be. And so in one sense, he gives us principles to navigate through life and to be the best expression of church that we can be. So in this season we find ourselves, let's be patient. Let's be kind. Let's give one another space when we need space. Let's be tolerant in one another when somebody needs tolerance. But also let's seek to become what God, let's seek to help one another, be proactive in blessing and being kind towards one another. Lots of other things we could say about love there, of course, but maybe just those two things as a starter we can get our teeth into this week. Patience and kindness. So what else then do we, how do we become, how do we get into that love? And I just want to spend a few moments now thinking a little bit about that. But just to use one more scripture to just screen share, if you like, one more time, this lovely scripture from 1 John 3 verse 6. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. You know, I want to spend, we've thought a little bit about what love is and what it isn't, but how do we walk in that type of love? How do we embrace that sort of love? And I'm going to suggest to you that love is primarily, it's firstly a person. It's what we see in Jesus. It's what he did for us and what he continues to do for us. And that somehow or another walking into who he is and discovering Jesus and letting him live his life through us is the way that we outwork those things. You may or may not know that tomorrow is our wedding anniversary, Wendy and mine wedding anniversary. And we'll have been married for 35 years tomorrow.
Oh, I hear you saying, and I know you're also thinking, you know, they haven't changed a bit. Well, you might be thinking about that, about one of us. I won't ask you which one.
But when I think back to the things that, you know, what was it that made me fall in love with my wife all those years ago? You know, I can honestly say to you that I still see my wife through the lens of that 19-year-old girl that I married all those years ago. She still is that to me, you know. And she always will be. No matter what happens on the outside, she will always be that to me. And I can honestly say, sorry, I'm a bit gushy and gooey for here for a moment, but you'll put up with me, won't you? So there is a reason for talking about it. But, I can honestly say that I am deeper in love with her now than when I married her all those years ago. But when I think back and think, well, what was it that drew me to her, if you like? And it was things like, you know, and honestly say, I hadn't been a Christian very long when I met Wendy, and she just has such a strong faith, such a strong love for God, and that drew me, you know. She just has such a positive, can-do attitude to life. You know, Wendy would always just make stuff happen. She'd just get on with it. She could absorb pressure. She's always been like that, and just make stuff happen, you know. She seems to always get on with people, you know. I just saw her, used to see her go in a room of people, and, you know, people she'd never even met before, and she would immediately connect with them, you know. And everybody loved her, and they always do, you know. I've never known anybody to not like not like my wife, you know. And other things as well, you know. She's and of course she was and continues to be drop dead gorgeous. and that too as well. But, you know, over the years, like anybody, every relationship, you know, we've had our moments when it's been a bit harder than other times, and I'd be lying to you if we said she was always been hunky-dory. We had those moments. But what is it that is in those times, if you like, I've referenced? What is it in those times that I've referenced to sort of get us through? Of course, some things like communicate and talk and think about the issues involved. But also, I have also thought back and think back, you know, what was my first love? What was the first, what made me fall in love with this woman? And has that changed? No, it hasn't. It's just grown. All of those things I said to you, love for God, positive can-do attitude, taking pressure, getting on with people, you know, all those things, being drop-dead gorgeous, they've just grown, haven't they? And they've just matured over the years. And but the point I want to make is that in order to live with what is happening now, I've referenced the first love, why I fell in love with her in the first place, and then just built upon that. And for us, you know, how do we live out the sort of love that Paul's describing to us? How do we avoid the things that he's asking us to avoid? I would suggest to you, it is first and foremost by keeping our love relationship with Jesus alive. At the beginning of the book of Revelation, there's seven letters that Jesus writes to the seven churches in Asia Minor. And he writes first to the Ephesian church and says to them, you know, some amazing things about they were doing some great stuff. But he also says to them, I've got to just hold this against you. You've lost your first love. And it's so serious that if you don't deal with that, you'll cease to be a church. You'll be snuffed out, basically, he says to them. And, you know, they did do something about that in the immediate, but in the long run they didn't, and, you know, sad really. And for us, you know, if we truly want to be those who represent Christ in troubled times, that's what the book of Revelation is about, isn't it? The beginning of the book, if you want to be a church that survives in troubled times, deal with these issues that Jesus addresses to the churches. Deal with your first love. Do something about it. And so maybe for many of us, you know, we might be going through this season and, you know, I'm struggling to think about this. I've let some people down here, or I've not done what I should do here. And not felt that you've lived out that sort of love, that patient love, that kind love. Well, the good news is repentance gives you an opportunity to turn that around. To get back into this first love with Jesus. And if any of you this week, you feel that you've slipped from your first love, let me encourage you. You know, just step back and give some heart back to God and say, Jesus, will you help me? It seems to me that when we have a love relationship with Jesus, all the other things just seem to slot into place somehow. We find that we can be kinder. We find that we can be more patient. We find that we're less judgmental towards other people. We find that we're shaped and formed. So these three things remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. These three principles will navigate us through any season of life, I suggest. And in particular, in this season, let's be people who continue to believe that the God of heaven will see us through. Let's continue to be people who hope, living the hope of God, both for this life and the life to come, knowing that there will always be a future and the better times. And let's be those who live in the love of Christ towards one another and towards God. God bless you. Have a great week. And over the last... That's great. Well, I hope that was helpful. And you know, faith, hope and love are such great themes, aren't they? And just grabbing hold of the love of God. You know, as I was thinking about what to speak about love this week, just thinking, it's just so huge, isn't it? The whole subject of love, the love of God. That's because the love of God is so huge. And you like the little wedding photo in there. You know, we haven't changed much, have we, really? Great, okay. So, we're going to break bread together now. And of course, you know, that's a way of responding to God, and that, you know, we're focused upon the love of God and wanting to be those who love like God. And the way that we, like I suggested there, is one of the ways we love like God is to look at the love that he had for us. And so in the cross, in the death of Christ, we're reminded of the great love of God. So let me just read these scriptures to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. For I receive from the Lord for I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. In a little while, we're just going to pray for some of the needs that we have. But in one sense, to break bread before we pray sometimes reminds us that our expectation for answered prayer, if you like, our expectation for God to act is rooted in what was released for us at the cross. That the God of heaven wants the best for us and does love us and is involved in our world. And so we're going to just pause for a few moments. A little few weeks back, we listened to a little piece that Belinda recorded for us when we broke bread. And I just thought, you know, it'd be nice just to use that now and again. And I thought perhaps we would do that today. So before we actually break the bread and drink the juice juice or wine together, let's just spend a few moments in reflection and listening to this lovely song that Belinda has recorded for us, and think about the love that God has for us on the cross.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within without, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relief, because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come. Lamb
of God, I come. So let's take the bread, shall we, and just reflect on this great sacrifice that Christ made for us. Thank you, Lord. Now, Lord, we take this juice or this wine as a way of remembering the agreement, the covenant that you have made with us. Together, shall we? God, you are an awesome God, and Lord, we just want to just pause together this morning and to pray, God, for the needs that are before us. Lord, there are so many needs, Lord, but at this moment in time we want to think about our nation, and we want to pray, Lord, that Lord, as there is uncertainties about sort of second waves and certain parts of our country being in lockdown, Lord, we want to say thank you that there has been some release, God, that there has been some sense in which we have seen downturns and daily life is opening up, Lord. We want to see that more and more, but equally, God, we don't want to see any resurgence, God, of this virus, Lord, within our own country. And we pray, God, for protection, and we pray for wisdom, Lord, for those who make decisions on our behalf in relation to this, God. Lord, we pray that you would stop the progress of this virus, Lord, within our world, not just within our own country, but around the world. Lord, we think of other countries in the world where this is worse, and we pray, oh God, equally, Lord, for them, that, Lord, that you would stop this. Lord, we look for that day, Lord, when there is a vaccine to arrest this virus, Lord, in so many, in our world, Father. And Lord, we want to pray, Lord, for some of those more practical needs, Lord, amongst us, Lord. We just are mindful, Lord, too, of this morning of Rob, Lord, and just pray, God, that, Lord, whatever that's causing these pains in his chest, that, Lord, it would not be too serious, Lord. And Lord, we pray in particular, Lord, for you to heal him today, Father God, for you to make him well. Lord, I know this next week that they're very busy with this youth conference that they're doing, Lord, online. So God, we pray that, Lord, you would get Rob back into the place where he is able to do what he has been planning to do, Lord, this week, Father. Make him well, we pray, God. Lord, we continue to think of Fiona's mother-in-law, Lord, as we prayed for her during the week with this aneurysm, and pray for my cousin, Lord, with this aneurysm, Lord. We pray, Lord Jesus, continue to look to you to do what is needed to bring them back to health, God, in miraculous ways. And Father, we just pray, Lord, for anybody that we know that has needs, Lord, within our community or within our town, Lord. We pray, Lord Jesus, for your protection and for your provision, Father. God, we want to pray, Lord, that as well as a church, we would have wisdom in the way that we open up things, things that we do together, Lord. Lord, we just pray that over the next few weeks and months, that God, you would guide us and direct us, Father God, in the ways in which we should go. Lord, we pray for those that would come into our centre as well, Lord, as we start to have a few more bookings there, Lord, during the week. We pray for your protection and your peace over that, Lord. Lord Jesus, help each one of us to become more like you in whatever way we can. In Jesus' name. Please do feel free to write requests on the newsfeed as well, won't you? And we do pick them up, and we do, I promise you, pray for those requests on there in our prayer times. So please do feel free to write them there as well. So we're going to go over to coffee now, and I'll leave the slide up just for a few moments at the end here. Please do join us. I have to say to you, I really appreciate these coffee times, and find them really, really encouraging. So the Lord bless you. Lord give you his peace. Lord give you his strength. Lord give you all that you need this week. And let's just be a blessing to God. Let's be patient. Let's be kind. Patient with all that we know, and kind to all that we meet. The Lord bless you in every way. It's great to be back with you again on a Sunday morning, by the way. And it's just great to know that we're connected in this way. God bless you. Take care.